Good Tuesday, everybody. Welcome into the Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. How's it going? Chase McCabe, Ryan Porth, Marquise Munson is back at the Wholesale Inc. Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Ryan, what's up?
How we doing, Chaser?
Oh, doing great. Better than I deserve, and definitely better than Major League Baseball is doing today.
Do but we really have to talk about this?
Yeah, unfortunately, we do.
Yeah, we do.
I mean, this is how I feel. You feel that way. This is how I feel every day, because nothing changes with this stuff, that it's like, we got to talk about baseball again. We have to. But,
well, I don't know if you can say nothing changes after what happened yesterday.
Well, that's true. I mean, nothing changes for the good. Let me put it that way. It's always bad. It's bad news. So I did watch, and they were replaying a lot of the, you know, the clips and stuff. But Mike Greenberg, the SportsCenter special that they did on ESPN with all the commissioners, and of course Rob Manfred of Major League Baseball was a part of that. But it also included Roger Goodell, Adam Silver, Gary Bettman. They were all a part of it. So it was cool because you could kind of get a state of sports as they try and make their return. Well, Rob Manfred and baseball, the only ones that are, well, I mean, it may happen, it may not. That's just kind of where we're at. In fact, Rob Manfred explained to Mike Greenberg that he now isn't confident that MLB will play in 2020.
Well, I know the owners are 100% committed to getting baseball back on the field. Unfortunately, I can't tell you that I'm 100% certain that's going to happen. I had been hopeful that once we got to common ground on the idea that we were going to pay the players full prorated salary, that we would get some cooperation in terms of proceeding under the agreement that we negotiated with the MLBPA on March 26th. Unfortunately, over the weekend, while Tony Clark was declaring his desire to get back to work, the union's top lawyer was out telling reporters, players, and eventually getting back to owners that as soon as we issued a schedule, as they requested, they intended to file a grievance claiming they were entitled to an additional $1 billion. Obviously, that sort of bad faith tactic makes it extremely difficult to move forward in these circumstances.
Rob Manfred, the commissioner of Major League Baseball. So let me get this straight, Ryan. Last week he does an interview on ESPN with Carl Ravitch. And Carl Ravitch says, you know, what's your confidence level in playing this year? 100%. 100%. Yeah, we're good. 100%. And now a week later he's saying, not 100%. May not happen at all. We may not play. Come on, man. Really? This is where we're at now. And not that I'm surprised. I'm not surprised at all. They can't figure this out. I don't know if they really want to, because if you think about it, and you know, we've talked about this on this show and Darren Donick and Chase, that if you're the owners, I mean, you're not going to have fans, probably. Maybe you have some, but you're going to operate at a loss. Maybe taking the season off isn't a bad thing for you. Like, all right, cool. We'll be fine. We'll come back, get at it next year. So now he's not 100% confident at all. Ridiculous.
I mean, look, he's looking very bad through this, and the players are looking very bad through this. Just baseball as a sport as a whole is looking very bad through this. I mean, forget baseball being America's pastime. I don't know if it'll be one of the four major sports when baseball finally gets back on the diamond. And that may not be until 2021. I mean, this is such an awful, awful look for the sport. From the owner's point of view, you've got billionaires not wanting to take a loss in 2020 to save the sport's image and to get baseball back on the diamond. And to your point, if you're Rob Manfred and you represent the owners, how can you come out just 5 days ago and say that 100% baseball is going to happen, and then last night you say you're not confident there will be baseball in 2020. That doesn't make sense, and it's just a horrible, horrible look for Rob Manfred. And I don't know how he is really still the commissioner when baseball is coming back and actually playing, because he doesn't know what he's doing as commissioner.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready to go that far, because he works for the owners. So I think some of this is, you know, the last week he says he's 100%, and that's him that's actually how he feels. And then the owners are like, hey,
I'm saying that from just a composite view of everything that he's been doing as commissioner of baseball.
Sure. Okay.
I mean, if he covered up the New York Yankees stealing signs and tried to protect the image of the New York Yankees because they were sign stealing, but he didn't want the Yankees to get caught for it like the Astros and the Red Sox did, owners are going to be furious at Rob Manfred. So you have that owner's point of view, and then you have the player's point of view, where Willie Donick made the wise point yesterday of, if you take 80% over 80 games, you would be making more than if you took 100% prorated salary for 50 games. And then you have the PA's lawyer coming out over the weekend saying if MLB came out with their plan of a shorter season, which the PA was demanding Major League Baseball to do, that if that had happened, they would have filed a grievance for $1 billion. So this is a complete mess. I don't know how there's any coming back from this in 2020. I mean, time's running out for them to actually start and finish a season. I mean, you're going to have 2 to 3 weeks of a spring training or summer training. And if you're not playing baseball by August 1st, actual meaningful games, then I don't know how you can actually have a 2020 season.
We're going to give you an opportunity to sound off on Major League Baseball coming up at 9:15. You can do that via the phone or text or even Twitter, 615-737-1025. We are going to want to hear from you on that. Some of you did that last night on Twitter. So I do agree with you. I kind of feel like that whenever they start play, whenever that is, and it's looking like it's not going to be until next season, he's probably not the commissioner. I just think he has handled it. You're right. There are a lot of things that he has just fumbled and bumbled through. And I was never a huge fan of Bud Selig. I don't know how you felt about him. I would assume you didn't like him very much, considering he owned a division rival. But I was never a huge fan of Bud Selig either. But Rob Manfred has just – he has really just screwed a lot of things up. And you're right about the Yankees thing. If it comes out that he covered that up, that's probably it for him. On top of all this,
both Selig and Manfred have just come away clueless, or come across clueless through a lot of the different things that they've been, sitting in the commissioner's chair for, and the fact that both sides of this negotiation are coming out and saying that the other side is negotiating in bad faith, I don't know how they're going to have a resolution to this.
No, they're not.
Neither side is willing to budge. And I'm telling you, man, if baseball doesn't happen in 2020 because of economics, it's going to set this sport back for years. And that's going to be very depressing to watch unfold, because this is I know baseball isn't for everybody, because it's just a different pace. It's a different game than maybe hockey or football or basketball. And maybe if you're not grandfathered in to the sport because your family loved or loves baseball, that you just don't have a natural connection to it like the two of us have, Chase, or Darren and Willie have. But they are going to fade farther into oblivion if there's no baseball in 2020 and they just keep fighting over money.
Yeah, and let me be very clear on this. I'm not just blaming Rob Manfred and baseball. The players have just as much of the blame for this as they do. I mean, I'm not happy with either side right now. I think the players look silly. I think the owners look silly. Everybody is looking awful in this situation. And that is where they're going to turn people off and they're going to lose fans. Because, as you know, and we know people like this, once they've made up their mind as a fan and once they've been ticked off enough, they're like, I'm done. You're not bringing me back. You're not bringing me back out of principle now. I don't care what you do. I don't care what kind of specials you run or promotions or anything like that. You're not bringing me back. You have lost me forever. So how do they come back from that? I mean, that's the question for me, because you're going to have a lot of those people that are so dead set on not watching your product anymore because of how you've handled this. And they lost a lot of people, in 94. They gained a lot of fans back with the home run race, but then they lost a lot of fans because of the steroid era. I mean, this they've just had a lot of this, and then the scandal with
did
the Astros.
Did they lose fans in the steroid era, though?
I think they did some. You had some purists that in the minority. I will say that they didn't lose a lot, but so maybe that was a bad example. But they, you know, you do have some purists that. I mean, in my timeline yesterday, I asked a simple question: should McGuire and Sosa be in the Hall of Fame? And it was, you would be amazed how split it was of people saying, "No, they're cheaters." You know, they. I think those people, you know, probably had a sour taste in their mouth. But
did the purists walk away from baseball after the steroid era? I think they maybe would have been turned off by it, but I don't think
they may have come back at this point. If they did, if they took a pause.
Sure.
Maybe that's the way to look at it.
I think the sport has lost more fans because of what the sport has kind of become in the last 10 years or so. Without the steroid era, you don't really have a bunch of home run hitters that are going to, you know, be, you know, transcendent stars through baseball and sports as a whole. I mean, they had to change the baseball last year just to get a lot more home runs hit. And you also, and you ask the question of how can baseball come back from this? And they have a great amount of different stars that could do that, that could get baseball back. When you start with Mike Trout and then Ronald Acuna, I mean, they have so much young talent. Mookie Betts, you know, Nashville's own. Cody Bellinger, also with the Dodgers. Aaron Judge. I mean, there's an abundance of young baseball stars that could connect with a younger demographic and bring the sport back. But baseball doesn't know how to market its stars.
No.
So, you know, if Mike Trout walked down Broadway, I don't know how many people would actually notice him. And Mike Trout is by
maybe if you like Subway.
Baseball historians, well, yeah. You know, baseball historians will tell you that Mike Trout, what he's doing is as impressive or maybe more impressive than what Babe Ruth did with some of the different things that he's doing within the sport of baseball. And outside of Southern California, you might not be able to recognize him.
Yeah.
So baseball has so many issues to figure out. But first and foremost, it's the economics of not just the 2020 season, but beyond. If they don't play in 2020, do they play in 2021? Are we guaranteed that? I don't know.
I don't think we're guaranteed anything at this point.
These last 2 months have done a lot more damage than it has good, and that's scary.
Yeah, and I mean, I would even say in the last week, it's been even more. I mean, because you kind of, you know, for a while it was, all right, yeah, this is getting old and they need to figure this out. And we're all sick of this. You know, we're all very upset, but you still had that, all right, they'll probably do something at some point. Now it's just, it's at the point where you don't know what it's going to look like. You know, Scott Van Pelt, I watched SportsCenter last night, and I just remember he was talking to Jeff Pass, and he turns to the camera, he's like, figure it out. And he's right. He has every right to feel that way. That's how you and I have been for a long time. But we want to hear from you, 615-737-1025. Call or text. It is time for you to sound off on Major League Baseball. How do you feel? What's your position with the players, with the owners? We want to know. We'll do that next on The Rundown, ESPN 1025 The Game.
It's just a disaster for our game. Absolutely no question about it. It shouldn't be happening. And it's important that we find a way to get past it and get the game back on the field for the benefit of our fans.
Would you describe your feelings as confident that there will still be a season?
I'm not confident, Mike. I think there's real risk, and as long as there's no dialogue, that real risk is going to continue.
Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred last night on the SportsCenter Return to Sports special with Mike Greenberg on ESPN. Welcome back into The Rundown. Chase McKay, Brian Porth hanging out. And we want to hear from you, 615-737-1025.
That Return to Sports special was actually pretty good last night.
Yeah, it was cool. They hit a variety of different topics.
And what was so telling through all of that was that the National Hockey League had Gary Bettman and a player. The NBA had Adam Silver and Damian Lillard. Major League Baseball had Rob Manfred, and the players opted to put out a statement instead of honoring ESPN's request to be out in the SportsCenter special.
That's a bad look for them. I'm just going to be honest with you. Your beef is not with ESPN, and your beef is not with the fans. Your beef is with the owners, and that's fine. That's you do you. You have that beef. But to just issue a statement and then everybody tweet when and where, just let us know, that's a bad look. That's a bad look, in my opinion.
Well, yes, I agree. And if Rob Manfred is going to go up there and face the music, why can't Tony Clark?
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I mean, you have to understand that if you're going to die on this vine, which is what the players are going to do, and I'm sure there are some people that side with the players. I'm sure there are some people that side with the owners. I mean, you always have that. But I think the majority is probably mad at both of them, like I am. You had an opportunity to defend yourself, and all you did was release a statement. So yep. I feel no sympathy for you if people turn on you because of that. Because I can tell you right now, I was already mad at you. Now I'm even more upset because you come across, I don't know how you come across. You don't come across very well by not doing that. And so at least Manfred, you know, he knew he was walking into the firing squad and he did it. So I'll at least give him that.
Well, and if you're Rob Manfred and if you're Tony Clark, I want to know whether or not they actually understand the domino effect and the impact of what these negotiations or lack thereof are having on their core fan base. Because if you start losing the baseball purists through this, and I think the two of us, we would call ourselves purists because we've been baseball fans our whole lives, right?
Yeah.
If they start losing the purists, I mean, what are they going to have left whenever they return to the diamond?
They're going to have just these novice, you know, oh, hey, look, a game. They're going to have that. I mean, that's what they're going to have. They're going to lose, you know, and I do bring, we brought this up last week, I should say, of, okay, are we going to watch as much? And I would say that you and I are in the same boat of probably not at first. I mean, there's going to be a bad taste in our mouth for a while. But, you know, if our teams are doing well, you're still going to kind of keep an eye on it. Does that draw you back in? I can say right now, because I'm so upset and just mad at both sides, that their job is going to be harder to bring me back in. Well, I'm not sitting here on the radio saying I'll never go to another Braves game again, but right now they have a lot of damage control to do. And I you bring up a very good point. I don't know if they realize that. I don't know if they realize how far down the road this is going to go, and that this isn't just going to go away like, oh, hey, we're back. We missed a season during a pandemic when everybody was losing their jobs, but we're back.
And you mentioned the home run chase in 98 as a period of time that brought baseball fans back. I mean, if you watched Long Gone Summer and the SportsCenter right after that with Scott Van Pelt, they put up a graphic of how the TV ratings were through the roof in 1998, set all sorts of records for viewership on ESPN. And that was 4 years after the labor dispute. 4 years. Can Major League Baseball really wait until 2024 to get fans back? No.
No.
Not in today's age. I mean, there are so many options for people to watch UFC, to watch MLS, to watch NASCAR, some of the sports that they love on demand. Like, you can go find anything anywhere that you want to watch. And if baseball's not an option through a large portion of a stay-at-home period where, you know, we're going to have golf back. We already have golf back. We have NASCAR back. We're going to have hockey back. We're going to have basketball back. It looks like football season is going to go on. And you don't have baseball. I don't know how many people are just going to willingly just go right back to that sport in 2021 on opening day if they figure their stuff out between now and March.
Yeah, because you asked the question of how do they come back from it? Well, here's the other side of this. What sport is going to benefit from this? And it's probably all of the other ones that aren't baseball. I mean, I think MLS could benefit, especially in this market with a new team. That could help a what I call a growing sport just in our area. You brought up NASCAR. I mean, did you see what NASCAR did, what they announced? And they've continued to trend during this time of they were one of the first back, and now here they go again. They're going to move their all-star race that's been in Charlotte forever. I think it was in Atlanta one other time, but it's always in Charlotte, July 15th, which is a Wednesday. They're going to put that at the Bristol Motor Speedway. And, oh, by the way, they're going to let 30,000 fans in. That's huge. That's cutting edge, as Willie likes to say. They're going to see how it goes. I mean, that place holds 100,000, so you can spread people out. They're going to bring 30,000 fans in, and they're getting new fans. We talked to Bernard Pollard yesterday, and he's hooked. You know, Alvin Kamara, NFL star, he's hooked. They're getting new fans because they're doing it the right way. They're being safe about it, and they know that there's a bigger picture here, but now they've brought their sport back, and they're bringing new people in. And I think that's good. This is a great opportunity for NASCAR. It has been a great opportunity for NASCAR. Well, now if baseball continues to screw this up like they are, I mean, it's going to be a good opportunity for the NHL. It's going to be a good opportunity for the NBA because they got their stuff figured out. Was it easy? Heck no, it wasn't easy. I mean, there's still players that are a little unsure in the NBA about playing in a bubble, but they're figuring it out. They're talking. They're at least having dialogue. And that's just the thing that floors me, that they can't figure out, that baseball can't figure out. So if I was, like last night, I would love to know what was going through the minds of especially Adam Silver and Gary Bettman, two commissioners that really haven't had any time off during this. They have had to work very hard to make sure their sports stay alive. I would love to know what was going through their heads with Rob Manfred and what's happening with baseball and how they feel about him. If I'm one of them, I'm like, really, dude, that's what you're going to do. Okay, cool. That's good for us. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Right. Well, I do think this is a huge opportunity for Major League Soccer.
Yeah.
Because when they start their MLS is back tournament on July 8th, there will not be baseball, and there won't be baseball before August. There won't be basketball before July 31st. There won't be hockey likely before August. You're going to have essentially that entire month of daily World Cup style, or I should say World Cup format like games with your sport on ESPN and on Fox basically throughout the day. And you are going to have a major opportunity to win fans over. And soccer has long been a sport that they've had a lot of fringe fans. There are the absolute diehard, hardcore soccer fans out there, but there are a lot of fringe fans out there that have been intrigued by the sport at times, and the sport has also fallen by the wayside at others. But if it's one of the only games in town, people are going to watch. And if Major League Soccer can put on a great product through this, they are likely going to win new fans, which is going to be a big plus for Major League Soccer, and maybe to a lesser extent the NHL and the NBA, because they won't have the stage to themselves when they restart. But Major League Soccer, you know, outside of NASCAR and golf, I mean, they are total benefits out of this.
Soccer is going to be an everyday thing. That's the key in all of this. Soccer is going to be every day. NASCAR isn't every day. Yes, they've had the midweek races and then the weekends too, but this is going to be an everyday thing. So for those of us that are just like sitting there shaking because of sports withdrawals, you're going to draw people in. And oh, there's another side of this too. What's another thing that's become pretty prominent in mainstream in our country in the last few years because it's legal now? Betting.
Gambling.
Yeah. You're gonna have people learning this game because they want to bet on it. And you're gonna get more bets placed on the MLS than I think you ever have. I'm pretty confident in saying that. So I think you're right. It's a tremendous opportunity for Major League Soccer. And hockey and basketball, they'll benefit too. But as you pointed out, it'll be August before they're getting going. So kudos to soccer for saying, yeah, you know what? We need to do this early July. Because I brought this up with Floyd a few weeks ago when I filled in with Jared. And I asked him the question, you know, and he's different because of his career, obviously. But I think if you ask anyone, and you're perfect for this, you are set. You watch hockey, you watch baseball. You're somewhat of a basketball fan, watch football. But you, all your time is taken up with those sports. And so there are some that maybe you just didn't have time to watch. And I think a lot of people, NASCAR being the only one that's been around, are tuning in and realizing, okay, this is kind of cool. There's a strategy behind it, trying to figure that out. You're going to have that with soccer. And so the hope is that people will tune into those sports for the first time because there's nothing else on, and then they'll stay, and they'll make time for it. That's what's going to happen.
100% true, and I also wonder how this period of time will impact people in Nashville actually wanting a Major League Baseball team.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point. I didn't even think about it that way. I've been so focused on being furious at him, I didn't even think about that. You're right.
I mean, in the next 5 to 10 years, it's been rumored Rob Manfred has mentioned Nashville whenever expansion talk comes up. And Nashville, we've heard whispers in the last couple of years that Major League Baseball might be interested in coming here to Music City. How would this impact the city's feelings and really the people of the city feeling over Major League Baseball? It can't have a positive effect.
No, because if you're Nashville, and that includes the city itself and the citizens, and all of a sudden you're presented with, okay, we can spend tax dollars to build a state-of-the-art Major League Baseball stadium, or we can spend tax dollars to renovate or build a new NFL stadium. NFL it is. That really could weigh into it.
Sure.
Which you're going to have to, we already know you're going to have to do something in Nissan Stadium at some point in the very near future anyway. But that's that, when you're making people choose, I think you're making that decision easier for them because of all this going on. That's a very, very good point. So I don't know. I'm fired up now, but it's time to go talk about other things. Colin Kaepernick, what is going to happen with him? Roger Goodell was on the SportsCenter special last night, commented on that. You'll hear his comments when we return here on The Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Looking for a way to show your support for teachers before school starts again? Sign up to sponsor teacher supply bags through Together for Teachers, a citywide campaign from the nonprofit Pencil to support Metro Nashville Public School teachers. Throughout June and July, you can help celebrate the 6,500 teachers in your local community. Learn more about the Together for Teachers campaign at thegamenashville.com. Pencil is Nashville's premier nonprofit, linking resources to Metro Nashville schools to help students achieve success in school and in life. Welcome back into The Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McKay, Ryan Porth, Marquise Munson is back at the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Now, we've spent a lot of time bashing baseball this morning and talking about the SportsCenter special from ESPN last night that featured the commissioners of the major sports. Well, of course, Roger Goodell of the NFL was a part of that, and with everything going on in our world, he has, of course, released a statement, a tweet video a few weeks ago. You've had players giving their support for Black Lives Matter, and Colin Kaepernick comes to mind because he was the one that was really at the forefront of all of this some 4 years ago, and he hasn't played since then. But Roger Goodell was asked about Colin Kaepernick and his chances of returning to the league.
Well, listen, if he wants to resume his career in the NFL, that obviously is going to take a team to make that decision. But I welcome that, support a club making that decision and encourage them to do that. If his efforts are not on the field, but in continuing to work in this space, we welcome to that table and to be able to help us and guide us and help us make better decisions about the kinds of things that need to be done in communities. We have invited him in before, and we want to make sure that everybody's welcome at that table and trying to help us deal with some very complex, difficult issues that have been around, unfortunately, for a long time. But I hope we're at a point now where everybody's committed to making long-term sustainable change.
I know that he has been outspoken in saying that we should have listened to our players sooner, and it feels like that they are taking some responsibility for their mistakes. People are always going to listen to things like that, and they're going to form their own opinion, and you have every right to do that. But now, you know, this is the one that's always going to come back to them of how Colin Kaepernick was shunned from the league because of how he handled things. And so now it's all of a sudden a situation of, yeah, I mean, he's welcome back. He's welcome to be here. At this point, you have to wonder what does he look like as a player? And I think teams will work him out. I do believe that he will get a look, but you know, we talked about this yesterday, Ryan, of if you're the Titans and you know you're probably going to need a backup quarterback, is that somebody you would look at? Mike Sando of The Athletic has the Titans as a potential fit for Colin Kaepernick. I would welcome that opportunity. I would totally bring him in for a workout, but he's somebody that you got to see him. You got to see what's there before you make any type of decision like that. But when you listen to Goodell's comments, not only last night, but in the last few weeks, and you read some of the things that have come out from the league, I'm wondering if people hear those and they forgive them how the NFL has handled this situation as a whole, or if it's, okay, I hear you, but now I need to see it. I got to see it firsthand, because we've heard, you know, coaches and owners, and or not owners as much. Amy Adams Strunk has given her statement, and she's been vocal about it, but you've had others come out and say, yeah, you know, if kneeling is what you need to do, I mean, we support that. We support your right to fight for this, and we stand by you. But my question is, how are people viewing Goodell? Are they listening and forgiving, or are they still in wait-and-see mode?
As it pertains to the Colin Kaepernick situation?
Yeah. Because now he's all of a sudden saying, yeah, no, bring him back. Yeah, we're open. If he can still play, then we're open to it.
I don't think there's much forgiving going on for Roger Goodell through that situation, if I'm being completely honest. I don't even know if there's a wait-and-see mode. I think there are some people who listen to what Roger Goodell said in the video that you referenced that was posted about 10 days ago, and you also hear his comments last night about Kaepernick. And some people might just roll their eyes at what he's saying, because they're like, oh, well, now you're coming around on Kaepernick when he hasn't played on, you know, since 2016. You know, realistically, how many teams are going to give Colin Kaepernick a fair shot to be either a 1A, a 1B, or a backup quarterback in this league? I don't know if there are many teams that would even consider that, because it's been so long since Colin Kaepernick actually played in the NFL. I mean, it's been since 2016.
Yeah, I saw him. I actually think I saw him play his last game. He was in Atlanta.
Three seasons have come and gone since Colin Kaepernick played in the NFL. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, Goodell, yes, he screwed up at the front end of this situation, and him coming out 10 days ago was nice for him to come out and admit that they should have listened to the players. I kind of feel like he was basically saying Colin Kaepernick within that situation, and last night saying he encourages teams to go out and sign Colin Kaepernick. Well, now teams might be sitting there saying, well, now you're asking us to go out and sign someone who hasn't played since 2016. No matter, like, that is the what Colin Kaepernick was kneeling for aside. Like, take that situation out of it, and you look at Colin Kaepernick, the quarterback, how many teams are really going to give him a fair shot? I don't think you can count that number beyond just one hand. To be completely honest, I mean, it's been so long. And, you know, I think teams do have a little bit of bad taste in their mouth over the Kaepernick situation of him trying to come back to football with the whole workout fiasco last year.
Yeah.
Where teams were willing to watch him, and then at the last minute, he changed venues. And I think that really ticked off a lot of teams. I can see there being a lot of teams just throwing their hands up and saying, you know, it's not something we're interested in. Right. We're not, yeah. This isn't something we're interested in because Kaepernick hasn't played since 2016. What can he do to the team on the field?
Well, and that's what I've been saying. Like I support signing him if he can still play. I mean, I got to see what it looks like, or I want, you know, the scouts and members of the team that know more than I do about football, I want them to see it. And if they say, yeah, okay, there's something there, then okay, give him a chance. But I think that it's getting to that point, because I will say this. Let's just use the Titans. I'll use the Titans as an example. And let's say that John Robinson's like, you know what, I am interested. I want to see what he looks like. And they bring him in for a workout. And he bombs. He's awful. You can tell he hasn't played in three seasons. And then you go, okay, there's just nothing there. There's nothing left. Gave him a workout. It's just not there. In most situations, you can have Teron Davenport tweet out, Colin Kaepernick tried out with the Titans today, left without a contract. Okay, nothing to see there. In this situation, somebody tweets that out, Colin Kaepernick worked out for the Titans, didn't leave with a contract, and it's everything to see there. Because you're going to have people going, wait a minute, so what happened? Why didn't they sign him? Why isn't he here? And if it's simply for football reasons, then it's for football reasons. That's okay. That's he doesn't have anything left in the tank. But there's going to be other things that come with it. I do recognize that even just bringing him in for a workout is going to bring the spotlight on your franchise, and you're going to have to be prepared to deal with that. And I still think that there could be a team that does that, whether it's at the, you know, it's being pushed by Goodell to do it, or they're just simply interested. But I do think from what you know, from both of those points, that number could be small.
I mean, isn't it going to have to take a lot more than just one workout to determine whether or not you feel comfortable enough to make Colin Kaepernick your backup quarterback or put him in the quarterback room?
I think you have to bring him to a camp. I mean, that's really what it's going to take, in my opinion, is you're just going to have to say, all right, we'll sign him to a one-year deal. We'll bring him to camp. There's no guarantees that he makes the team, but he's being given a fair shot, just like any other player that's trying to make the team. And then you go from there. And if he makes it, great. If he doesn't, then he doesn't. That's how I would go. I mean, honestly, if there is a team that's willing to do that and knows that there's going to be other things coming with it, then I say do it. And if the Titans did it, I'd be totally on board with that, because I mean, nothing against Logan Woodside, but I don't know that much about Logan Woodside, and I am not confident saying right now that he is the backup quarterback and can be a good backup quarterback to Ryan Tannehill that does have a history of getting hurt. Now, with that said, you bring in Colin Kaepernick. I know what I saw 3-4 years ago from Colin Kaepernick. And at that time, I would have said, yes, he's a backup. He would be a great backup here. He could start. He could win some games. I can't say that now because I don't know. I have to see it. But if they brought him in for a camp and it worked, then cool. But at the same time, I recognize that is a lot easier said than done. There are more things that come with that than just bringing in a player to see if he makes the team. So I totally recognize that. My question, though, goes back to Goodell. So you listen to these words, and now we'll see if we see action or not. Do we think that people eventually do forgive him for how he handled this? And the comparison that I'll make, and I know these are very different situations, but this is top of mind. I think we were all mad at baseball players for a while for juicing, especially guys like McGuire that you thought you knew, they wouldn't admit it, and then he finally admitted it. And after he finally admitted it and started coaching in baseball, it was kind of like, okay, all right, I forgive you now. It took some time, but you at least admitted you were wrong. You came clean that you were wrong. And now I think there's a sense of forgiveness with him, whereas Sosa still won't admit it. And so at least for me, there's still a, come on, dude, just come out with it. And again, I know these are different situations, but I listen to Goodell's comments, and if the actions back it up, then I'm willing to say, yeah, you learned from this situation. It wasn't handled right. I would say that Colin Kaepernick has probably learned some things as well. And I'm willing to move on and forgive. Not forget, but forgive. I'm just wondering if people look at it that way too.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
Nope. I don't think people are going to – I think there's a large number of people that will not forgive Roger Goodell for that. I just don't.
No, and
I think people look at – I think people look at Roger Goodell differently than they may have looked at Mark McGwire.
Yeah, and like I said, they're different situations, but that's the best example I could come up with that was top of mind. So who knows, Ryan? Who knows at the end of the day? You had Ryan Johansson on with you yesterday, though, on Preds Insiders. Very good interview. I listened to it. We'll hear a couple of clips from him when we come back. Here on the Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Dad rocks the gold. Enter for a chance to win Dad a Preds store gift card for $75. All you have to do is submit a photo of your dad rocking the gold on Twitter. Tag us at 102.5 The Game and use the hashtag Dad Rocks the Gold. You can also submit a photo at our website at thegamenashville.com. Get your submission in today as the contest closes on Friday afternoon. Chase McCabe, Ryan Porth, Marquise Munson, better known as Evolution, here with you on the Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Now, Ryan, yesterday on Preds Insiders, you had a very special guest in Ryan Johansson, mm-hmm. and we've heard him. He's done some Zoom calls. He obviously participated in our Game 6 Remastered special that we did, but I listened. You had a great conversation with him about a lot of different things, including the return-to-play scenarios that the NHL has set up. And you asked him a very interesting question that we brought up with Nick Bonino last week on if this pause, if you can consider it to be a reset.
Totally, totally. It's we've had 4 months to, you know, have a lot of looking in the mirror and just a lot of analyzing of ourselves and being able to clear our minds and feel fresh, feel good about ourselves. And I'm sure I'm speaking for everyone. I feel great right now, and with things ramping up and getting back on the ice here, it's, you know, I think we're all feeling good. It's like a fresh start, but it's a fresh start right in the playoffs where we come out of the gates hot. Anything can happen.
This goes back to, you know, what we've discussed, that I don't know how much you can really gauge from before the reset, because I heard you even bring it up with him that this is longer than some off seasons, this break that they have had. So it's really a reset, like he just said. But I also hear just in his voice that excitement. And it's an excitement that I haven't really heard from Ryan Johansson in a while. And it just furthers my belief that he's going to be a big-time player for this team when they hit the ice again.
Not just excitement, but determination.
Yes.
Out of him. You know, this is a player that was on pace for, I brought this up last night on Preds Insiders, and that if he had played a full 82 game regular season, he was on pace for 27 assists,
which is not him.
You pay a center, a number one center, $8 million a year to get 67 assists, not 27 assists. So it was a down regular season for Ryan Johansson. He had his fair share of ups and downs, but a lot more downs than ups. And this is a player that if you get his A game, you're getting someone who can just take over a game and be a huge impact within a game. But we haven't seen that A game out of Ryan Johansson since probably the 2018 playoffs. 2017 is well documented. He got hurt in game 4 against Anaheim, missed the rest of the postseason. But in 2018 against Colorado and Winnipeg, Ryan Johansson, Philip Forsberg, and Victor Arvidsson were still very, very good in the postseason. It was just the fact that they didn't get anything out of their second line with Kevin Fiala, Kyle Turris, and Craig Smith. And then, I mean, those guys were on a milk carton. Forsberg, Johansson, and Arvidsson were basically providing all of the offense, especially against Winnipeg. So it's been a minute since Ryan Johansson has flashed that A game. You can hear it in his voice, and I'm sure the clip that we're about to hear, you'll hear it even more out of him. But it just comes down to him actually following through with this on the ice and not just saying all the right things, that he's determined to get back to the game he knows he can play.
Why is he excited to go straight into the playoffs? Well, here's why.
That's the thing I'm excited about, is that I'm going right into the postseason. That's where I've always played my best hockey. And you know, I know I'm going to be ready, and you know, I have my chance here to shut up the haters from the year, you know. And so, no, I'm just kidding. But for me, it's a great opportunity. Coach has just come in, Coach Hines, and he hasn't seen my consistent best, and you know, my team counts on me, and I need to be there, and I need to show up and make sure I'm at the top of my game to help our group be successful. So really, really, really exciting time just for myself as an individual, and being able to come out of the gates hot and do my thing.
Well, you referenced it, of how he was in the 2018 playoffs. We all know what he was doing in the 2017 run before he got hurt. And so he's right. I mean, he does play some of his best hockey in the postseason. And you know, this is a different circumstance. You're asking them to come in, do a few weeks of training camp, maybe play a couple of exhibition games, and then jump right in. But again, I go back to how this pause was good for him. Because he's admitted it. He did that article with Joe Rexroad. He's done different interviews where he has flat out said, like, yeah, I have not played at the level I know I can play. And I truly believe that he took some time, he stepped away, he got his mind right, and you can hear it. You can hear it right there. I mean, shutting up the haters, I mean, I love that. I love that mentality. Even though nobody really has hated on Ryan Johansson, it's just pointing out, yeah, he's not playing right. He's not playing the way that we're used to seeing him play. So I love that type of motivation that he has, and I hope that it can be contagious. I think it can. But I really, really hope that, you know, if they decide to put Jofa back together, that does that rub off on Arvidsson? Does that rub off on Forsberg? I really think it can.
Well, Johansson and Arvidsson are two players that I think the two of us both agree on. The fact that those are two that should benefit from this long pause within Yep. within the season. Victor Arvidsson was a shell of himself in the regular season, especially after he took that hit from Robert Bortuzzo. And, you know, made this case last night too on Preds Insiders, is, you know, John Hines doesn't have a lot of time to figure this out before that qualifying round against Arizona. Yes, there's going to be multiple weeks of practice time within a training camp to get the team ready for that qualifying round, but they may only have a couple exhibition games to knock off the rust. So you need to go with what you know works. And you know Jofa works. Now, it didn't quite work earlier in the season when they were put together by Peter Laviolette for whatever reason. But you know that trio has a long history, has a lot longer history of actually excelling and playing at a high level than they do of not doing so. So if I'm John Hines, game one against Arizona, Jofa is the top line. You figure the other three lines out, but you put Ryan Johansson, Philip Forsberg, Victor Arvidsson together, and if they even resemble some of the chemistry that they had, you know, dating back to last season and prior to that, then I really like the Preds' chances in that qualifying round.
Yeah, I do too. And to wrap this up, I like how honest they have all been. I listened to John Hines yesterday on Jared and the GM, and if you missed that or Ryan Johansson, just head to thegamenashville.com. You can listen to those. They have all been very honest in their evaluation of everything to this point. And now, I know those are words, but now I believe they're going to back it up. They're going to take that evaluation, and they're going to learn from it, and you are going to see this team play much, much better once the season resumes. So good stuff with Ryan Johansson, Ryan. It was good to hear him yesterday, and can't wait to see him back on the ice. That's going to do it for this edition of The Rundown. We're back at it at 9 o'clock tomorrow, but stick around. Darren Donick and Chase coming up next. Bob Costas at noon today on ESPN 102.5 The Game.